Well, I wonder, do you love mysteries? As a child, I loved mystery books. I've actually got one here. It's Five Go to Mystery Moor. I guess you were probably reading something like this too. And on TV, of course, as a child, you used to probably love mystery Scooby-Doo and the famous mystery machine, the van they drove around with. I love to work mysteries out, love to see the solutions to problems, even if I had to figure it out. It's an enormous privilege, isn't it, to be the bearer of the solution to a mystery, to be the only one who knows, to be the bearer of special information, the ability to help others. It's a bit like solving a Rubik's Cube like this. Once you've worked it out, you can choose whether you want to tell anybody else about how to work it out as well. Some mysteries, of course, are all the more important. In our day, there's the mystery of coronavirus. What's the best cure to it? What's the best vaccine to use? Now, imagine if you were given the privilege of the cure to COVID-19. If you had come to know the answer for yourself to that mystery, if you've had the privilege of having that cure yourself, what would you do with that information? Would you keep it to yourself? Or do you share it? Do you share it with others? You know, our answer to that depends on two things. Firstly, do we understand the privilege of knowing that we have the cure? And secondly, to have got the cure, by the way, that everyone else has tried so hard to find. This week, there was a vaccine producer on television. He was there with such a huge smile on his face because he'd finally got the cure. So do we understand the privilege of knowing we have the cure? Secondly, do we understand the privilege of being the revealers of that cure? It's not something which doesn't matter. It's something which matters deeply to all humanity. What a privilege to be able to reveal that cure to everyone else. You know, Paul's about to go on and tell us how to reveal the cure for the biggest problem of all history. Now, what is that problem? Well, it's the problem of sin and death and judgment, isn't it? But he pauses. You can see that in verse 1 of our passage together. And he says, for this reason, and then he kind of trails off before he gets to tell us how to reveal God's cure through our lives and through what we say and what we do. He wants us to understand that there is a privilege of knowing this mystery cure, and he wants us to understand the privilege of being the revealers of that cure to other people. So we're going to look at those two things now. We're going to look, first of all, at the privilege of having the mystery revealed in verses 2 to 6, and then the privilege of being mystery revealers in verses 7 to 12. So first of all, the privilege of the mystery revealed to us in verses 2 to 6. Now, we've all heard about God's cure for the biggest killer in all history, haven't we? Did you know that? What is the biggest killer in history? Well, of course, it's sin. We know from Scripture that the wages of sin is death, and we all die. It's the ultimate statistic, isn't it? One in one of us die. We can only delay it, but we can never prevent it. In this time of pandemic, we need to see afresh that there's actually a greater killer than COVID-19. It's the curse of sin that destroys all of creation. But, and this is so important, there is a cure. God has provided it in Jesus. Jesus died on that cross to deal with our sin. And our sin, if it's dealt with, death is defeated. That's why Jesus cried, "It is finished." He had dealt with all our sin problem. And then Jesus demonstrated it by rising from the dead. Jesus definitively proved that he is the cure for the sin problem. I wonder this morning, do you know the reality of that? What I mean is this, do you know it more than just intellectually? Have you acknowledged that Jesus is the only answer? Have you thanked him for dying for you and for taking on your sin on himself and the punishment for your sin? Have you asked him to forgive you for your sin? Have you accepted him as your saviour? You know, maybe this morning is the time that you need to accept God's cure. What a privilege that God should provide a cure for your sin. And Paul was amazed at this, but also he was amazed in verse 3 that he knew all about this, not just that God had provided a cure, but that he knew the cure. He says, the mystery that was made known to me by revelation. Now, we know Paul's story. He was utterly opposed to Jesus and to all Christians. He was so against Jesus and all Christians that he tried to kill as many Christians as possible. But rather than strike him down, Jesus did something extraordinary. He met with Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus pointed out to Paul sin, not that he needed to know it, but he did because his eyes were blinded to it, the hatred and the murder and much more. And then, amazingly, Jesus called Paul to repent and to turn to him. A few days later, Paul came to know Jesus as his Saviour. Paul was given a new start, a new life. What a privilege! Paul knew the cure to his sin and death. You know, all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour have a story like this. Maybe it's different. In our own rebellion, we're not maybe trying to kill off Christians, but we all rebelled against God. We've all tried to, at the very least, kill the message of the gospel to us, haven't we? And yet, despite our rebellion, Jesus has come and has found you. He has come to call you. You met with the living Lord Jesus. You've been given new life and new hope, and you know the cure to sin and death as a reality in you. Now, isn't that amazing? We too must be amazed that we know the cure, not just that God's given it, but we know the cure. What a privilege that we know of the cure. And thirdly, Paul was amazed that he was living in a time of God's grace in verse 5. He said, which was not made known to men in older generations. Now, we're coming to Christmas, aren't we? Can you imagine what it would be like before Christmas came to pass? I don't mean the missing chocolates and the missing lights and the missing Christmas tree, but I mean the good news that Jesus is here, that the Saviour has come. You know, we take it for granted, don't we? We know about Jesus. It's nothing special. But it's amazing. Before Jesus came, there were amazing promises. But the Bible tells us that living in those times was like having veiled eyes, like only being able to see with difficulty. But now Jesus has come. We've seen all that he's done. We've seen his victory. We've seen his work on the cross. We've seen him risen from the dead. He's revealed in his word. Verse 5, it talks about the prophets and the apostles, Jesus being revealed in his word. And he's been revealed by God's Spirit, who speaks to us time and time again. And again, we see his Spirit at work in verse 5. Back in 1918, there was great celebration for the end of the First World War. But just as that celebration was going on, another killer struck. It was Spanish flu. And like today, there was no vaccine. 50 million people are estimated to have died from Spanish flu. That's twice the number, more than twice the number, killed in World War One. You know, it's a privilege to be in 2020, to have a science available to find a cure for COVID. Oh, but the amazing privilege to be in this time of God's grace where his cure for our sin problem is known. And Paul also was amazed that Jesus is revealed to all people in verse 6. You know, God promised this back in Abraham. He promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. And for thousands of years, God revealed himself to Israel first of all. But now, through Jesus, all nations would be drawn to God. We read that whosoever will may come in Romans. And we are the whosoever. There are no more barriers to stop us from coming to peace with God. All who come to Jesus are a part of God's family. You know, we are a people of privilege. The privilege of God's provision of the cure to the greatest killer sin, which has been provided by God. The privilege of God revealing the cure in Jesus to me, even though I don't deserve it. The privilege of living in a time when God's cure in Jesus is clearly seen. The privilege of being part of the growing kingdom, God's cure offered to all people. And so here it is, that's the mystery revealed. Christ in us, the hope of glory for all people. Oh, what a privilege we have. The great cure the world needs, and we know about it, and we've experienced the reality of it. What a privilege we have in Jesus. Oh, so there's the privilege of the mystery revealed. What a privilege. But secondly, there's the privilege of being a mystery revealer in verses 7 to 12. We've seen announcements, haven't we, in recent days of vaccines for coronavirus. What's been amazing to see has been the delight on the faces of those who are making the announcement. What a privilege to be able to announce to the world that a cure has been found to this deadly pandemic. What a privilege to invite the world to look out and to come along to get the coming cure. You know, we have a double privilege. We are recipients of God's cure, and we are revealers of that cure. And Paul wants us to know that double privilege. It's an amazing gift. That's what we're told in verse 7. It's a given as a gift of grace. My daughter-in-law, just to explain this, is expecting a baby in 5 days' time. And it brings back to mind the privilege of calling family and friends when my own children were born. You know, my wife should have been the one to call them. She is the one who gave birth, but she couldn't. And so I was gifted with the privilege of bringing that amazing news of new children into the family. This is God's undeserved goodness, his grace to us, that we have the offer of eternal life to give to others. You know, God could do it all for himself, but he gives us the amazing privilege of being involved. Like those angels at the first Christmas who sang good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. What a privilege to be the announcer of the coming of Jesus. What a privilege to be announcer of the salvation of Jesus. You know, I've had the privilege of being a part of many folk coming to know Jesus. And it's amazing praying with them as they trust in him, seeing the tears over their sins, seeing the joy and delight transform their face and then their lives transformed. What a privilege. And so that's why in verse 7, Paul says, I've become a servant. I'm a willing part of this. I want to be part of this amazing privilege of bringing the word of God to others. And also, it's an amazing honour in verses 8 to 9. Paul says here, although I'm less than the least of all God's people. You know, if God was going to trust anyone with news of such an amazing cure, who would he pick? Who would you pick, I wonder? Maybe a great salesman, someone who can really persuade people. Maybe a dramatic film star, someone who can communicate really well. Or maybe even a sporting hero or a television personality, someone who others respect and listen to. We can think of so many people who would do a great job of it in our own minds. But who does God use? Well, he uses ordinary people. He uses people like you and me, warts and all. Why does he do that? Well, actually, because it's not about us. No one should ever make that mistake. It's not about what we say or do or our personality, our great speech or our attractiveness or anything else. What does God do? Well, we know from Scripture that he takes the foolish things of this world. He takes those who are nothing, those who are weak, and he uses them for his glory. And God privileges us, you and I, to be his, to bring rather his amazing cure, the news to his, of his amazing cure to people throughout the world. Oh, it's an amazing privilege to be a part of that. And it has amazing impact, verses 10 to 11. Who do we bring this cure to? Well, of course, we go out, don't we, to family and friends and work colleagues. We live this life of transformation before them. We speak as God gives us privilege to do so. Doesn't seem much, does it? But what are we doing? Well, we're offering them life, new life now and life eternal. And what's the outcome? Well, it's transformed lives, isn't it? It's hope to the hopeless, a new future. It's friendship with God, all things made new. You know, what we are doing is not trivial. God's cure has the greatest impact of anything in this world. And we see that in verse 10. It impacts, it says there, rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In coming to Jesus, a person is taken from the rule of Satan, from the slavery of sin, from the impact of the world, and is brought into the kingdom of God, is brought into freedom from guilt and sin, is brought into liberation from the need to follow the ways of the world. Jesus utterly transforms, new creation made in each new believer, and God privileges us, you and I, to bring that cure that has amazing impact. And of course, it answers our deepest needs in verse 12. The big impact of this virus that is going on now in the pandemic, you know, it's not just illness and death, is it? But it's separation and loneliness. And it's not just coronavirus that does that. Sin does that all the more. Sin drove Adam and Eve from God's presence. Sin puts us in enmity with God. We cry out and search for ways to connect with God, but we fail miserably outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our darkest hours, if we do not know this cure that God has given us in Jesus, we are lost, we are alone, and we are without help. But Jesus transforms all of that, doesn't he? He brings us close to God. He brings us into his family, dearly loved children of God. His Spirit dwells within, speaks to us, reassures us. And in our darkest hours, even in our final hours, we have confidence to draw close to God. That's why in verse 12 it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Oh, what a privilege to bring this message to other people. It's not only to have the mystery revealed to us, but to be those who are the mystery revealers to others. We are the bearers of the greatest cure, the most vital cure in all history. Oh, let's be those who see clearly this privilege that is ours, the privilege of mystery revealed to us, and the privilege of being mystery revealers to those who desperately need to hear of the cure of God from sin. So there's a last little thing here we need to see. In verse 1 and verse 13, Paul doesn't want them to be discouraged. You know, when you're trying to solve a mystery, it's easy to give up. Well, this Rubik's Cube, I've got a confession. It's all jumbled like this because I don't know how to solve it. You know, I tried, but it was too much of a mystery. And so I just gave up. And my son learned how to do it. I never did. My son has a mat he was given to put his mug on, and it says this: if something is too hard to do, it is not worth doing. And sometimes that's how we approach mysteries, isn't it? If something's too hard to do, it's not worth doing. Why is Paul giving the message of mystery and privilege to these Ephesian Christians and to us? Well, we said at the start, this whole passage is actually an aside. Paul's about to go on to tell us how we can be mystery revealers throughout our life, but he wants to pause to show us what we have, the privilege of having had the mystery of the gospel revealed to us, and the privilege of being mystery revealers to others. Why does Paul pause to do that? Well, because being mystery revealers is a difficult task. I guess you've already seen that in the responses to the news of a potential vaccine. Even though it's a potential cure to the world for COVID, people say, well, it'll never work. There are other people who go, well, I don't need that. Some people are still saying, believe it or not, that COVID-19 isn't that serious in spite of all the evidence in front of their eyes. And there are some who say, oh, I'll be able to sort it out myself. It'll be okay in the end. And don't we get all those responses when we speak the gospel to people? Paul, in this passage, is currently in prison. That's where he's writing the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians from. He's been carrying the cure for the most deadly problem in the whole world, but people don't want to hear it. And Paul simply says, I ask you, verse 13, therefore, why? Well, because of the privilege of being having the mystery revealed to us and because of the privilege of being mystery revealers. I ask you, therefore, to not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. What Paul wants them to know is, yes, it is a difficult task, but Paul has used God to bring the good news of Jesus to them. And Paul and God is using them to bring the good news of Jesus to others. And it doesn't matter that we're weak, and it doesn't matter that people don't accept it, and it doesn't matter that what has or what hasn't worked before. What matters is simply that we have the words of eternal life. And that God does use you, uses you and me, as we bring his words faithfully to others. Oh, listen to what we need to hear from God to encourage us. It's down in verse 20 and verse 21 of our passage. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is God's encouragement to you. Oh, the privilege of having the mystery revealed to us. Oh, the privilege of being mystery carriers. Oh, don't be discouraged from speaking about the wonderful mystery of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, in whatever opportunities God gives you in the days ahead, living it out for his glory, speaking it out for his honour, that all might hear and come to know the wonder of the cure that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ.